we pay attention to a few points. Just like we have our house and we have a garden with our house. And if we don't look after the garden in the house, then what will be the result, the consequence? After some time, if you don't look after it, if you don't do the gardening properly, then you'll see that in the garden, instead of flowers, you'll get weeds, you'll get insects, spiders, animals, and different types of roots will grow, or weed and grass, nettles, etc., if you don't look after it. And if you look after it, alhamdulillah, then you'll have beautiful looking flowers, you'll have nice grass with soil on the side, and it'll look very nice, attractive, and a person looks at it and he gets happy when he sees that it's your house. And if you inside your house you don't clean up the house, then after some days you'll see that dust will accumulate on the ground, and there'll be spiders and scorpions or insects, and the result is due to the fact that we haven't cleaned the house, looked after it. That's the answer. So a person himself, if he looks at himself, a person, his own body, if you don't have a bath for a few days, and if you're in a hot country, hot climate, then what will be your condition? The different smells will come out from your body. Nobody will sit next to you. You smell, and a person won't want to sit next to you. Obviously, because we haven't cleaned ourselves. So it looks like that this is the principle that Allah has given. That's why Allah says that cleanliness, purification is half of iman. That cleanliness, cleaning is very important. It's a part of life. And that the cycle of life rotates around this principle of purification. It's so important that everything is spoilt if you do not clean it. So my brothers, let's pay attention on this point, that our batin, our inner state, our inner self, inside us, the reality that's within us, and that is more important than the garden, more important than our house, more important than the physical body. And if we don't look after the batin, then what will be its condition? If we don't look after it, if we don't rectify it, and then most definitely, according to the principle, that such conditions will generate and develop within the batin that the human body cannot imagine his state of affairs within. So a person is not dirty or impure from dhahir, externally. Rather, he is dirty, impure internally. And it's such a thing, the batin, the inner state of a person, the inside, his soul, that a person through the soul attains everything. Akhirah is made through the development of the soul. Allah's qurb, nearness, is attained by development of the soul. Rather, all our amal and deeds that we perform, due to the purification of the soul, the deeds will be accepted. Paradise and hell, the decision will be made due to the purification within us, our batin. A person who's clean, who's pure within, inside, if he is pak and clean and pure, then alhamdulillah, paradise is waiting for that person. Look, that if we see here, the lighter clothes that you wear, if you don't decorate your body too much, you just wear normal clothes, normal situation. But insan, if he is clean and pure inside, subhanallah, then that person will achieve so much. Now what we emphasize on, the biggest mistake we make, is that we worry about everything that's visible. We wash our car, we clean the house, modernize the house. Everything we try, everything that's external, visible, it's clean, and something doesn't accumulate on it, we'll try our best. But what we should be most careful about, we don't care about that. The batin, think about it. So what then will be the consequence of this? The result of this will be that just like I gave the example to you that if you don't look at your house, you don't look after your home, you don't look after your garden, whatever you have, then obviously the wrong things will grow, the wrong things will come and dwell there. Same way, if a person doesn't consider and focus on his batin, doesn't clean it, doesn't develop it, improve it, then what things will accumulate and grow within the person? Such dirty, impure sins will develop that they will take a person towards kufr, towards disbelief. Just like I said to you, that and from that garden you have animals and insects and spiders, if you don't look after it. Same way, batin, if you don't care for your soul, then such conditions will develop. Kibar, where does kibar come from? Pride. Why does it come? Haughtiness. Where does envy come from? Where does riya come from? Where does this spiritual sickness, where does backbiting come from? Where does jealousy come from? Where does the love of the dunya come from? All of these negative traits are due to the fact that we have ignored our inner state. We don't care about it. We don't think about it. So all these negative things develop within us automatically. Automatically. Automatically these things grow within us, they develop, and the dirt is then apparent. Because all our life we pass, all our life, we don't even ever think that we should purify our batin. We don't even focus towards our inner state. So we care about our body. When the body, there's some defect, there's some stain, we look at dirt, we clean it. But because inside is the reality of our life, our internal self, the inside is the reality, so we don't think that why are we lying? We never consider, why am I consuming somebody's rights? Why am I usurping somebody's rights? Why am I oppressing someone? It becomes a routine life for us. We think it's fine to do these things. We don't consider these things as sins. So tell me, brothers, that how dangerous the life of that human being becomes. That's why the Quran says clearly, that person, forget about being a human being, he is worse than the worst of the animals, below the status of the animals. His consciousness is gone, evaporated. His awareness. And progression isn't this, my friends, that what we think is progression. Progression isn't to have many degrees, multiple certificates, and you construct big buildings, and advancement, we call this now advancement. Progression is that the human being's inner state should be clean. He is advanced, that person. His akhlaq should be the highest. Look, if you look around, that people can be in a so-called modern generation. Today in this day and age, we say we are progressed and advanced and modern. But because we're dirty inside, we don't have satisfaction. If we look at society, there's no peace. There's no contentment. Today the human being, he's not content. He is distressed. He's anxious. Why? If we see that, why to hit each other, to kill each other, day and night people are plotting and planning. Human being to down with somebody else, to overcome somebody else, we make dangerous plots and plans. Can ever a person think like this? And but when, subhanallah, human being's batin is clean and pure, forget about killing somebody, even the minute insect, you won't even want to touch that in a negative way. Even an ant, you won't want to kill it. You won't even feel like that, you brush it aside. The ant. You can experience this yourself, these two extremes, opposite extremes. Yes, the people who do dhulam on others, who oppress others, that will diminish, that will evaporate. Why? Because he has protected his soul from within. When you protect your soul and clean your soul and your batin, then the dirt will not accumulate. Rather, in place of it, such a thing replaces it that the human being likes. He changes so much, improves so much, that he may stay hungry for a week, but he feels like feeding other people. Subhanallah. So we say this regularly, that we should help others, assist others, and we should do, and we should have knowledge, etc., and do speeches and lectures. These are practical things, that's fine. Quran says that amalan is what we need to do. Practical life. The noble companions, radiallahu anhum, their example was through their physical lifestyle. The merciful Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave tabligh and ta'aleem, and he amalan physically demonstrated the deen to us. He didn't just leave the Quran for us. He did amalan, demonstrated the verses of the Quran to us. He didn't just recite the verses to us technically and recite like this and read like this and do this and that. Practically he demonstrated the Quran to us. And when he practically demonstrated that, then more than 100,000 companions continued that demonstration to the Ummah. Subhanallah. But sad is to say that today we don't even accept this principle. We consider that there's no loss if we don't look at the batin. That's fine. My brothers, understand, there's destruction for the human being. It's destruction for the human being starts at this point when he doesn't look after his soul, his batin. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how much you study and think you're civilized and advanced and present in the world. But if within your batin is not clean, it's not purified, you don't develop yourself internally, then that person is the worst situation. Worst situation. In Islam, the big lesson has been given to us, the first lesson that's given to us. Allah's Nabi says, I said, I came for this purpose to elevate your akhlaq, improve your character and your manners. Everything based on this hadith, the Holy Prophet said, most of all, the weighty amal on the mizan, on the scale, the weightiest, the heaviest deed on the scale, most heavy. Imagine the it will fill the scale and make it heavy and bear down. What will that be? What will be the reward for that person? Imagine a person, if his deed makes the scale go heavy in the weight, which amal will that be? Why did Rasulullah prescribe this to us? For this reason, so we practice this amal. So we pray, not that we hear him, just think about it. No, because we are lost, we are astray, a path has gone wrong, the generation's gone astray. These hadith, these Quran verses remind us and make us revise the journey that we're on. The journey, most definitely they explain to us. One hadith, after reading it, your soul becomes fresh, vitalized, revitalized. Looks like, subhanAllah, just like Rasulullah himself physically is giving this message to us. If you're upset, then do this action. If you're distressed, do this action. Yes, you can practice this, experience this. That same hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives this knowledge to us, then we should understand that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is explaining to us this point. A mu'min, he becomes a mu'min. Our iman tells us is that whatever Allah and his Rasul prescribe to us, that is totally his haq and truth. Yes, there's no need to doubt it. Yes, so we should do amal on that. We should practice on that. If our iman is not on that platform, the astaghfirullah, Allah's Nabi has said something, we say, oh no, this is not necessary. He's told us, but it's not necessary. We don't believe in this. How can we practice this, we say? What is this? Why are we saying this? No. Whatever Rasulullah has prescribed and said, from that generation until Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, that is fact. That is fact. And the effects of his words would be the same. Not just for one generation did he say that this, what I'm saying is for today's day and age, my era. No. The Quran style is the same. The Quran wasn't for one generation, one time, one era, one decade, one century. Rather, until Qiyamah, the Quran delivers the same message to every human being. And that's how our destiny will improve, our lives will improve, our hereafter will improve. We didn't just say, oh, we're in a modern age now. It doesn't matter how much the generation changes, progression, etc., lifestyle. Obviously, things will change. People pass through phases, revolutions come, evolution, revolution, etc. But a mu'min should not wilt and shake. As long as the Rasul said, in one hand you have the Quran, in the other hand you have the Sunnah, nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. 1400 years ago, Rasul said, nothing to fear for the mu'min. Doesn't matter, no doubt, doesn't matter what generation, era you live in. Don't fear, don't worry, as long as you have the Quran in one hand, and in the other hand you have what? Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. And as long as we implement our lives according to the Quran, the Rasul said, no, this is too hard for me, I can't do this, we say that the times have changed. That's where then the human being loses out and he destroys himself and his life goes on the wrong track. Yes, that's where he goes on the wrong track and he loses out. So, Quran tells us clearly, doesn't matter what life, what era you're living in, where you are living, physically, but pay attention. Don't let your batin, your soul, become dirty and impure. Protect your batin. Protect your inner state. Most of all, protect most of all your inner state, your soul, your batin. Your nafs should be developed. And as soon as you ignore your soul and inner state internally, and you haven't done hisab kitab, and you become negligent and lazy, then straight away the diseases will generate in the society. Big diseases. Big hasad, envy, is such a big disease that if we see, where has it come within a human being? It's present within us. 100% is present in all of us. Why? Because if I do not try to improve and develop, the Quran testifies, the hadith testify, and the bear witness, and our iman tells us, it doesn't matter how clean we look outwardly, but 100% those diseases are present within us because we cannot clean ourselves on our own.
We cannot. Such from a human being, he needs to be cautious, is lazim, essential, compulsory, very essential for a human being. He shouldn't trust himself. I'm fine. Shouldn't leave himself to his own devices. How can it be if you don't have a bath physically? If you don't have a bath, won't you be dirty? Would you be 1 week don't have a bath? What will happen? 1 week. Yes? So if in all our life long we don't pay attention to our bath, then tell me what will be our state of affairs within. And then we'll see the result afterwards. Most verily for sure we'll see the result. And the meaning of a hadith was similar to this effect that if a person's human being's alive, he thinks he's a mu'min, but when he goes in the grave, he's a disbeliever. He's changed. He's not a mu'min. A person, we consider small scale sins, they become big mounds of sins. Mounds of sins. And his lifestyle changed. There is a waqia, man tashabbaha biqawmin fa huwa minhum, a person imitates a people, he'll be raised with those people. This is hadith, isn't it? The hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, doesn't matter what happens, what year you're living in, but it will occur what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Whoever you imitate, man tashabbaha biqawmin, you will rise with that. And an event has been shared in Makkatul Muqarrama, or I think it's Madinatul Munawwara. I'm not sure. There was an alim, a scholar, big scholar, and he passed away. And you probably heard this event before. And he died, this scholar, and he was a well-known scholar, learned, and that time was also a principle that in one grave, because time was, space was short, then they would dig again and utilize that space again, rotation. And maybe in Sharia there's a principle for this and some understanding. So they said he's a very big scholar. So the other alim who has passed away, the person who's passed away now, so we'll put him into his grave. The alim would pass away. And he was also a big scholar who had passed away. And he said, we'll put him in next to that grave. So when they dug that grave to lower the body, and he wasn't there. The alim, there was some European appearance. They said, what's going on here? They were shocked that a European didn't come here. We didn't bury such a person here. There was no ijazah for a person to. How did he die and get buried here? So they were very distressed, and the alims and the people of that time, then the qabr here, what's going on here? We know that we buried this alim and he was a very well-known scholar. How did this occur? What's happened here? He's changed. It's a different complexion of a person here. Different appearance. They started to research and they asked. They didn't understand. Then they went to his home and they spoke to his respected wife and said that your husband, did you ever hear him say something or see such an amal? She said, he was pious, he was good, he was an alim, he was a scholar. And in my life I didn't see anything. But look here, we say, you know, that the grave, that now we understand it. Even a small mistake, if it happens, and if the hadith is proving this point, then definitely that will occur. So now we have to be very cautious in our lives. Very cautious. We should pay attention and focus on our batin, hasad, envy, and jealousy. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two hadith, one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the meaning of it is that hasad and iman cannot be together. They cannot be together. End of story. Hasad and iman cannot be together in a person. A person who is envious of others, jealous, he will not have iman. Nabi Sallam said, so see the lesson here, where have these sins come from? These sins are generated at that time, that soil that we have not cleaned, we have not cultivated, we have not developed, then the sins of hasad have come into that person. And a person who doesn't purify himself, then this 100% this sin will be present within him, hasad. It cannot be that it's not present within him. The question doesn't arise. Take an interview with a person. Do you do this? Do you purify your batin? Then you are hasad. You hasad. Oh, you call me hasid and sinner. Another thing, that every defect will be, he'll be angry as well. As I said, those amal will be present in that person's lifestyle that will take him towards kufr, towards disbelief. So this event, man tashabbaha biqawmin fa huwa minhum, whoever imitates a people, Allah Ta'ala has proven it through this event, this person, this alim. Yes, so it's very difficult to understand the reason, but the hadith cannot be changed. There definitely was a reason behind what they saw. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm giving an example here. So, then she said, oh, there was one point in my husband. He said that sometimes when he would do ghusl for janabat and it was cold, he said, oh, we have to take a bath. The Christian religion's good. They are let off. They don't have to do this. And he said, we have to have a bath. And he said that they're let off. They don't need to do this. He used to practice. He used to bath. He used to practice this, but he didn't like that. And he liked the other way. And that person who spends his whole life like this, tell me, who eating, drinking, standing, sitting, traveling, whatever, all life is in opposition. And we said, no, we can't practice the deen. Okay, fine, don't do it. Nobody is forcing you, but the hadith is present. Whoever understands this hadith, alhamdulillah, recognizes it, then he'll even save his children, his wife, he'll save himself. That, oh, we've gone, we've lost. We're living the wrong life. Allah, otherwise Allah would not show these examples in the dunya. Brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't just sent us to the world for nothing. Allah says, you have been sent to the world to become a good morning, pure, clean, and do amul on my words and advice and come back to me, Allah says. Kullu nafsun dhaiqatul maut. Death will definitely come to you. You are coming back to me, Allah says, after death. You're coming back to me. Definitely you're going to die, Allah ta'ala says. And everyone's agreed upon this one. Every religion, definitely we're going to die. But what happens after that? They change. Allah says, what's going to happen after that? Allah says, you're going to return to me, and only he will believe in this who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who believes in Allah on this point, then he'll prepare for the returning to Allah. He'll prepare. Yes, the sign of iman is this, that he'll prepare for death, that definitely I'm going to pass away, definitely I'm going to go back to Allah. So won't he protect himself from, then he'll save himself, he'll save his children, he'll save his wife, and people say he's mad, you'll say, no, tomorrow I'm going to die, and I'll be accounted. So we learned that the alim sahib, all he said was just one thing, that it was hard to have a ghusl and janabah, that Christians, they're let off, they don't need to do this. Maybe jokingly said it, somehow he said it, but Allah doesn't like such a statement. Whatever my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed to you as a way of life, that's the best. That is the correct thing. So, when does a person accept these things? At that time when a person's batin is clean and pure. You know the class that we're having at this moment, this majlis, that's why I'm speaking. That's the objective of us to sit here, alhamdulillah. That's why we're gathered. I'm not wasting your time. That's why I'm sat with this niyyah, and that's why I've come with this intention. We are assembled here so we can bring out our negatives, our mistakes, and recognize them, accept them. And so we can be saved from the mistakes. All our deficiencies are there. They will continue to be there. We won't be saved until we do not clean our batin. The question doesn't arise. We'll be lying within us, we'll be thieves, we'll be stealing, we'll be fraudsters, we'll be proud. All the deficiencies will be within us because we're not cleaning our garden. All the animals will come into the garden. If you don't clean your home, then the dirt will accumulate and grow and increase. If you don't clean your body physically, you will smell, stink. If you don't clean your batin, then the sins will accumulate and gather within you. It's a fact. It's not hard to understand what I'm saying. And then if we say, oh, I do ibadah, I do worship. It's just like a person that, for example, you don't have a bath and you keep changing your clothes and spray the perfume. Are you clean? Huh? Tell me, if you don't have a bath, keep changing your clothes and spray the perfume. Oh, I'm clean. You're deceiving people and you've got different clothes every day and you're putting perfume on, expensive perfume and fragrance. People do that today in society as well. People do that. They don't have a bath. They change their clothes. It's fake. The fake lifestyle is there and it's around us. And all this progression and so-called modernism and advancement, it's like a bubble. It's like a bubble. One corona comes, it's gone. Another variant comes, it's gone. Different variants come, they're gone. Times change, things change. But subhanallah, what is baqa? It is forever. That will never end. It will never end. A person who says in one hand the Quran, in the other hand the Sunnah, he will never end that person. He will never end. He will never end. He will never cease. Such a woman dies, nor such a man dies. Rather, from one lifestyle and phase of life, he transfers to another phase of life. وَلَا تَشْعُرُونَ Allah says, no, they are alive, but you don't know the life I give to them. Allah says, from this worldly life, Allah says, I transfer them to another life. And when Allah even transfers them, for such human beings who do have the Quran in one hand and the Sunnah in the other hand, then their transfer, the end of the life is a beautiful preparation. Beautiful angels descend at the time of his death. And beautiful reception for him at the time of death. Rather, some mashaykh, pious predecessors, people who have seen and have heard the walis of Allah, they say that Rasulullah himself also arrives with the Sahaba, noble companions, to such a pious person to receive him. SubhanAllah, we were waiting, SubhanAllah, for you in paradise. How much life we're wasting. Oh, I pray Salah, I worship. My friends, these things will be accepted at that time. You pray Salah, how much do you backbite? How much do you lie? How much do you take people's rights? How much pride do you have? How much envy do you have? How much malice do you have? How much gossip mongering? How much raya? How much fraud? How much deceit? How much mutakabir are you? How much are you usurping other people's rights? Your libas, that your libas will hide your debt? No, your libas, even if you wear cheap clothes, cheap clothes, but if you are clean within your batin, subhanAllah, then you are fresh and revived. Fresh and revived. So this generation, this era that we see, it's full of the sins in the human beings. They don't even know themselves what's the reason, because the Quran, they've left the Quran from their hand. Yes, they know how to recite. They know how to recite the Quran. Mahazir Sahib used to say, Nurul Markada, and he's a great Wali Allah. His statement I'm sharing with you. I'm not saying this. This is the Wali Allah statement, my Shaykh, subhanAllah. That not just hundreds of thousands who took Hidayah, rather they went beyond Hidayah, went to the higher ranks. I'm speaking about this teacher. He said, about the Quran, he said, subhanAllah, that a person with relation to the Quran, if you don't focus on the Quran, if you don't do amal on the Quran, if you don't have fikr on the Quran, then it's not benefiting you, the Quran, Hazrat Sahib said. My Shaykh said, totally it's not benefiting you at all. Rather, there's a statement of Allah that the Quran sends curses on those people who don't do tadabbur on the Quran, who don't ponder over the Quran, who don't practice the Quran. It's amal and the Quran, it's not you kiss it, recite this many juz, and recite it like this, and technically, yes, if you got amal, then nur ala nur is your recitation. Nur ala nur, there's no greater action than that, reciting the Quran in melodiously, nicely. If you're reciting and practicing, then it becomes nur for you in life. That, yes, you know we say that, we do the dua, that Allah give me the akhlaq and the character from the benefit of the Quran. Wadkhul jannata, through the Quran's guidance we will attain these things. Yes, for sure. If we do amal on the Quran, then the Quran will become nur for us. It will improve our akhlaq, it will bring light into our lives, it will deliver us to paradise. SubhanAllah, it will save us from the hellfire. Yes, there's no greater kitab than this, is it? The Quran, the guidance. Yes, and every word, for every letter, there's a reward. But even that, there's a condition. We have utilized this fact incorrectly. We don't understand the objective. That if you don't utilize something for its purpose, what's the objective, then how will you take the benefit from that thing? Tell me this. The Quran, if we don't understand its purpose, for example, in your house, if you don't know you're going home and you find a diamond on the way, you say, what's this? You don't understand its value and you just kick it to the side. Oh, what's this stone here? And you kick it to the side. You don't understand its value and appreciation. And somebody, a jeweler who's coming behind you, you understand, he knows the stones and the jewels, he knows the diamond. He sees it from the corner of his eyes, he'll jump onto it to look after it. The jeweler, the goldsmith, the jeweler, or not, tell me. Yes, because he understands the value, the pressure, how precious it is. In the same way, mashallah, subhanallah, the Quran is a precious jewel for us, the most precious thing of all. The people of the Quran, they embrace the Quran to their hearts. They recite the verse, they practice it. They recite the verse, they practice it. So, the Hazrat Sahib said, the Quran is not beneficial for a person who doesn't do tadabbur. Rather, there's a statement. Allah says it curses that person, the Quran. Allah says that they're two-faced. You touch me, you kiss me, you embrace me, you read it, and then you practice in opposition to me, the Quran says. Then can there be a bigger munafiq than this? Yes, maybe some of my words are a little bit bitter, but this is the reality that's facing us. My friends sometimes get upset from my words. They get upset. But what can I say? What can I do? I have to do my islah. MashaAllah, you are forgiven. You are pious. But I have to worry about myself. That if I speak the truth and the defects within me, then I can bring them out. Yes, if I just keep on talking, title, sahaba, technical, this and that. This drama, brothers, maybe in the dunya will run, but not in the qabr. It won't help us. Doesn't matter if I have big titles. You understand? Laqab. Titles, I'm this and Sheikh and this and this. Forget all of the titles under the sun. Allah's Nabi said that nothing will run on the Day of Judgment. My daughter Fatima, you should be ready. that Rasulullah, if he is telling his daughter who he loved more than himself, then me and you, what are we, tell me? What chance do we have? Rasulullah said, oh my daughter, be ready for the grave. Be ready for the grave, the questioning, the severity. Prepare today, wa yalab. So Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha, how did she prepare for her grave? Subhanallah, what a great preparation she had. Such a preparation. That's why Hazrat Hassan and Hussein were born. Such great children she had. This was the reward that Allah Ta'ala gave. So preparation, that's the result of the preparation. Yes, she departed once to her father. She went once crying. She was upset, distressed. There were wounds on her hands and blisters and her clothes. There was smelling. And her blessed chadar, her sheet was smelling. This was the daughter of Rasulullah, the Prophet. And Hazrat Ali, subhanAllah, when he saw this, he was upset as well. When he saw Hazrat Fatima, he said, Fatima, today some slave women have come into the Baytul Mal. Go to your father and ask for a few workers to come to our homes. They've been distributed. At least we'll get them. So at least they can grind the corn and they can assist you in the housework. But she was, subhanAllah, she was not happy to go. She wasn't going to us. She didn't want to us. He motivated her and she said, okay, I'll go. Okay, I'll go. And she went. And what was the answer that she got there when she went? The Fatima, shall I give you something better than this, subhanAllah? Better than this. And what can there be better than this? I'll give dua. And Rasulullah prescribed dhikrullah. Remember Allah. 34 recite this. And then see how this benefits you, subhanAllah. Even today, the pious women folk, they are the walis of Allah. Even today, that they don't fear due to the challenge of the world. They do tasbih in the night that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha was prescribed. And all her distresses and issues, children, husband, house issues, they don't fear. They don't tremble. They do amal on this wazifa. And that's why when you go to the friends of Allah, the mashayikh, their wives, like my Hazrat Sahib's wife, subhanAllah, when the food would be served in the khanka, she would cook herself. Forget about cooking. There was nothing at home. There were just potatoes peeled and put into water, making chapatis with the hands, and people are coming on Thursday night. Dhikr khanka was full. And Hazrat Sahib would give food to the attendees. Imagine the humbleness, humility of the faqirs. Of Allah Ta'ala's darvish, and he didn't say to anyone else, you do it. He'd cook it himself. And how she would cook at home, where did the flour come from? She'd knead the dough, daif or a woman, weak. Why? What did she do? She did the action that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha did. Same action. So my brothers, that the Sahaba are the shining light for us as guidance. If we don't become human beings, then we'll be worse than the animals when we raised on the dead. We'll be like donkeys and monkeys when we're going to the grave. If we do not rectify our batins now, today. Yes, zahiri ibadah, don't run after it. Visible, the physical worship, even that relies on the state of affairs within us, our soul. The first step that we should take, my friends, please listen, is that we should do islah, rectify and improve and purify our batin. Yes, we need to focus on our inner state, inner self, clean it, purify it. Should we do this or not, my friends? Tell me, do you understand my message, what I'm saying today? Yes, the person cannot be mild-mannered and nice. You say, oh, he's sharif, you don't know. You look in outwardly, but then you'll see afterwards in private how much sharif and humble this person is. Look at his actions, his deeds. In private, such actions he carries out that he's ashamed himself. That what am I doing? Because shaitan has overwhelmed that person. He is with his thoughts, he's with his feelings, and he didn't accept the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That individual. Yes, so many people are trapped. Oh, he's pious, he's sharif, he's mild mannered. We'll give our daughter to him as a partner, and afterwards say, oh, he was a very zaleel person, kamina person. He pesters our daughter. We thought he was pious, he was sharif. Aren't they the stories of this day and age? We thought he was good and pious, and he pesters our family. After that, no, but his mother and father, they start swearing at them, they take his side. This starts with, why do people change like this after a few days? Because we look at zahir, we look at the external, we look at wealth and money and status. Allah's Nabi said, no, look at that thing which I am looking at. Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows the inner state of a person and what's within him. How do we recognize a person? If, for example, you want to recognize a person, is he good, good manner, or is he a drama? Then you recognize it through one thing, that does he purify his batin, yes or no? Does he improve his soul? Yes or no? If he is working hard, then take hold of his hand and trust that person. That this person will not deceive us. He will not deceive us. He won't commit fraud with us. Yes? Even on this, there's fraud as well, this path. Even in tasawwuf and purification, fraud has come. But you have to be careful. That is this person sincere or not in his purification of his soul? Or is he a drama? Oh, everyone else is doing it, I'll do it. Everyone's doing dhikr, I'll follow them, copy them. No. You have to think here. Is this person, we're talking about a sincere person, who once says that, yes, I devote myself to the goodness. What's the difference between the two? How will you recognize if somebody is sincere or not, if he's got sincerity or not got sincerity? The person who is sincere, on every action he will do what his sheikh says to do. Doesn't matter if you're getting loss of millions or thousands, he will do that action what his sheikh prescribes. That's called a sincere person who is preparing to improve his batin. Trust such a person and he will not deceive you. He will not deceive you. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Our whole deen is a light, a shining light. Such a fantastic torch is that deen, that everything you will see crystal clear. You can see it for what it is. Yes, nobody can deceive us. A mu'min, have you not read the hadith? A mu'min, he will not go through, he will not get affected by going through the same hole twice. He will not be affected by that same thing twice. But we don't recognize those signs. No, he's pure, he's got big houses, he's got this and that. MashaAllah, his akhlaq is great. What's his akhlaq? That he's given you food and he's smiled at you and we say he's got akhlaq. When he does his action, then we'll see his other side of it, MashaAllah. And when you see the other side, the other face of that person, that this person, he is a very bad person. And then we'll start saying bad about that person. Why? For this reason, because he doesn't clean his garden. When he doesn't clean his garden, then the diseases will come out. Yes, the illness will come out, the spiders, scorpions, things will come. And from here, the hasad will come out, the fraud and the envy and the dirt will come out. That's developed within that person. And such big plants we have developed within us. Impure plants, bughz. Yes, such a dangerous plant that develops within a person. Hatred for others, hatred. Yes, there's hasad, there's hatred, disliking others. May Allah forgive. And this is within us. That person who, and it's not that, for example, he works out, even that person who's sincerely working hard, maybe from 100,000 there'll be one. The Khankas even today have been spoiled. You don't find sincere people. Just a drama, joke going, I'm sitting dhikr, I'm doing this, and I've come to do this, etc. That Allah Ta'ala says they don't know who they should be obeying. They follow their nafs and desires. They don't follow the instructions of their sheikh, the teacher. That if they follow the instructions of the sheikh, the teacher, all the people who are here assembled to do dhikr, then the jama'ah should be full at the time of fajr. But who comes? Is this purification? Tell me, say Subhanallah. Does anybody come? They think that this is for the murids. Which murids? There's no murid. Hey, this is a general practice of the deen. A general practice of the deen. Look, for example, if you construct a well for water to be drawn up, yes, will you say this well is only for those people who are the special attendees of that person? If you've put the well there, then that well's for everybody in that vicinity, locality, not just for you and your friends and the people you know, whoever comes past to drink. So Allah Ta'ala says, where there's a majlis of dhikr, is for everybody to attend a majlis of dhikr. For everybody, who stops anybody? Who says that this is only for select people or a group of people? No, everybody should attend. The example was given, yes. Yes. So here, the bughz and malice and hatred, dislike is within everyone who doesn't clean his batin and soul. 100%. Yes. You can't say to yourself that, oh, I don't have this. If you don't have this disease, Allah says, you have this disease. And what's the punishment? That on the 15th night of Shaban, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu narrated the hadith in Bayhaqi. The respected scholars there present, they've studied this. And great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrated this hadith. He said on the 15th night of Shaban, great night. Yes, the moon is the same, the stars are the same, the night is the same, the earth is the same that we're on. So what is the greatness in that night if everything physically around us is the same? What is it that physically makes it better? Yes, what is the greatness of that night? Why is it better? the greatness is that in this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at His servants with khas rahmah, special mercy. Imagine Allah, the Rabb, the Creator, and He looks upon His servants with a glance of mercy. Imagine the heart of His servants at that time. Will there be anything lacking in our lives after that? The mu'minin, will there be anything left? Can he be zaleel in the world after that? Just like we are zaleel today. Like we are zaleel today. Wretched. Yes? Like we are so wretched and cursed in dunya. No one's more wretched than us. That we are. Yes, okay, fine. Maybe from birth they're wretched. But we have made ourselves wretched. Why? Because in the night of Shaban, 15th night of Shaban, and hajis and ghazis will be sitting. Worshippers with their hands raised. Allah's rahmah, mercy is looking towards His servants. And Allah's announcing that I have forgiven everybody, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. So can anybody dispute this? Who? Why has Allah forgiven him? He was this. Why has Allah forgiven him? He was this or she was this. Can anyone dispute? Those who will dispute and challenge, like mashallah they do. But can anyone dispute? Allah says, I've forgiven everybody today, tonight, on the night, 15th night of Shaban. But imagine here what Allah Ta'ala says. That the purification of the batin you can gauge from this statement now. Allah says, but that human being I've not forgiven who's got bughuz and hatred and malice within him. Keen and bughuz. He, in other words, who has not cleaned himself, I've forgiven everybody else, Allah says. This sin, that sin, whatever sin was committed. But in this person's heart is bughuz and kina. There's hatred and malice. Look where this sin has come from. It's within, isn't it? It's within ourselves. In our inner state. So tell me now, who do you see hatred and bughuz? Bughuz is such a physical condition. We're sat, we're eating together. And we have hatred and dislike and malice for each other within our hearts. We're eating together. We dislike each other within ourselves, within the homes. Husband and wife, there's dislike and hatred for each other. Yes, husband and wife, for each other they have dislike and hatred. Dislike, enmity, hatred. Tell me. And bughuz, you've seen that on the night of 15th of Shaban, Allah says, I'll not forgive this person. I'm very upset with this person because this is such a bad sin. In the heart, for another Muslim to think bad and negative and dislike him. Oh, no, he prays Salah, he does this, and you praise him, and he's got a long beard, and he's pious, he follows the sunnah, and he does this, he gives khairat and sadaqah and charity, and we give him the title. I say, I don't accept nothing. I will accept that person whose batin is clean. His inner state is clean. Have you seen about how important today, now we understand how to clean our batin and purify, but we fuss, make a fuss. No, it's not necessary to do this. We don't need to follow this action. It's a hadith, has Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Another learning, has Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has narrated a hadith in Tabarani that I'd like to share in your service. Listen to this. What does he say? That Allah Ta'ala's reminder and Allah's rahmah and mercy, I swear by Allah, Allah's rahmah overwhelms everything else. I can swear by Allah that Allah Ta'ala doesn't want any mu'min, any Muslim who has iman, cannot go into Jahannam if he follows this guidance and comes under Allah's rahmah. That Allah gives so many chances to each and everyone, so many chances. Okay, Shaban comes once in the year. What is Allah Ta'ala saying here now? In the hadith here, Tabarani hadith, has Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the master of hadith. The master, and how did he become the muhaddith? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. He said that I couldn't even remember any of the words of Rasulullah. Everyone used to hear and memorize. I couldn't remember. I had a desire. I wanted to do so. I went to my beloved. I said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the people, they remember your words and I keep forgetting. I can't memorize. I don't learn and realize. Abu Hurairah said, Rasulullah, yes. That his torn cloak, yes, that he used to wear, subhanallah, and there were insects in there, in the sheet, in their cloak. Say, subhanallah, such simple cloth, and he threw it down. Unravel it. Rasul said, is this your sheet, your cloak? Rasul gathered it up and then he gave it back and he wore it. He said, wrap it around you, embrace it to your chest and your heart. And after that, most of the hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated of that. The question didn't arise that he'd forget after that. And this is the result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karamat, and Allah ta'ala demonstrates that this is how he gives to the mu'mineen who have the desire and the passion. But at least ask from me, Allah ta'ala says, say subhanallah. At least that's what I mean. This was not just to run in the generation of the Sahaba. Allah says this will continue till the Qiyamah. Even today you attain like this. That I don't have ilm, I can't read a lot of Quran, I can't memorize, is it? That you want to learn Bukhari? You want to learn Quran? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala prepares, Allah teaches that person if he wants to, without any madrasa, without any darul uloom or institution, without any resource. Allah is Qadir and Mutallak. Allah says, okay, fine, you've become like this. That's it. Now recite to the people. Pick up Bukhari Sharif and teach the people. And teach the people. Such a tarjuma, such a teaching that alims are shocked that what is the words coming from this person's mouth. I can demonstrate to you, they are walis of Allah like this. Where did they study? They didn't study. Where did you graduate from? The Hafiz of Quran. How are you taking our mistakes out from our hips? He said that I'm not Hafiz. That if you're not Hafiz, how are you taking the mistakes? Is the mistakes? Because you know the noor of the words, it dims at that time. So I know that you're reciting wrong at that time. When the noor, I see it, it dims. He says, I see a different light of the hadith, different light of the verses of the Quran. Said this wali of Allah. Qadir Mutlaq, Allah Ta'ala can give to him. He wants. Allah gives even today if he wants. Even today he gives. We have left those paths. We just worry about ourselves. Do this much, earn this much, do this much, worship this much. Allah says, no, follow my principles. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the reality of deen. So, Allah Ta'ala, this hadith I'm sharing with you, and who's narrating this hadith? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And he became an alim like this, that he couldn't see anything, remember anything, and he then wrapped that sheet, the blanket, the cloak, that Rasulullah subhanAllah gave the blessings to it, and then after that he never forgot anything. Abu Huraira of the Lord, he narrates his hadith, how fantastic this hadith will be. SubhanAllah. He said that every night of Jummah and every Monday, every Monday and Thursday night, SubhanAllah. So it's not just 15th of Shaban now. Every Monday and every Thursday, every Monday and every Thursday, Allah Ta'ala subhanAllah, the deeds of the mu'min are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The walis of Allah, you know, they've made these practices that we say this is bid'ah, innovation, gathering, the dhikr majlis on the Thursday night, on the night of Jummah, in the khanka of the wali Allah, there's effect of this due to the hadith. And they know that this is the luggage of forgiveness that we are gathering. So this hadith, I remember, so I'm sharing it with you. Another hadith of Thursday night, I'll share that with you as well, if I can remember it. Afterwards, I'll share it with you. First, let me complete this one. So he said that every Thursday night and Monday, SubhanAllah, now we sat here. Abu Amal again, where? Where are they going, my friends? What are you doing now? Sat here, say loudly. You're doing Dhikrullah. How many people are here? Tell me. How many people? Is this a small deed that you're practicing? That your Amal are going to Allah's court, to the presence of Allah, and you're doing Dhikrullah. Where are you sat at the moment? Where? Who said this? Hazrat Ali Murtaza, my Sheikh, due to him. The Wali Allah, if you connect yourself to the Wali Allah, you will arrive to that maqam, that your deeds will be presented to Allah, and you'll be doing that deed at that time that is most beloved to Allah at that time. SubhanAllah. So this is the result of making connection with Allah. Otherwise you'd be walking around gossiping, satire, set somebody else. Thousands of actions that are happening now, right now in the world you'll be doing. But you've connection with the friend of Allah. Due to the friendship with the Wali Allah, Allah says, I'll make your life such that I will make you do that amal that is most beloved to me at this moment in time. SubhanAllah. All lifelong Allah will see to you in this gathering, in the majlis, due to the connection with Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah. Very easy is the prescription that the Wali Allah gives to his students, whether you accept it or not. If you're ungrateful, you'll be ungrateful. If you're ungrateful, you'll continue to be ungrateful. So Thursday night, the night of Friday, and Monday night, the deeds of a person are presented to Allah. When Allah looks at that person's deeds, his actions, SubhanAllah, people, the Muslims, Allah looks at us, our amal, Allah says, all of these people, I've forgiven them. SubhanAllah. 15th night of Shaban, you don't need to wait for. Everyone is forgiven. But from these people, Allah selects again a few individuals. Those who do not clean their batin, Allah says, apart from the person who has bughaz and kina in his heart, hatred and malice against other people, they won't be forgiven. Tonight, to bow, to submit to other people, ask them for forgiveness, take the hatred out of your hearts, and ask others for forgiveness. The hadith is stated, when a person goes to his bed in the night mattress, he should go clean and pure, not put perfume on, fragrance of a bath or shower, no need for that. What's the purification? That your heart should be empty of gossip, mongering and malice and hatred and enmity against someone else, should be pure. You should have no negatives against anyone in your heart. What is bogus? You're sat in front of each other and you hate him inside your heart. Look at him. That in your heart there's a fire burning, enmity against that person you're sat in front. You're not saying it. Inside your heart is burning. You're sat together. And he's my friend and I like him. But inside you hate him. Oh, he's my very good friend. You say. Oh, I love him so much. Yes, inside the heart, there's the fire burning. He's not saying it, but inside he's burning. And they sat there. Yeah, he's my very good friend, we say. Very good friend. Yeah? Yes, in the majalis they sit together. In gatherings they sit together. Yes, with the hatred and the enmity they bring into the gathering. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala says, maybe he'll do tawbah now. Maybe he'll do tawbah now. Maybe he'll understand now. Allah gives a chance and chance, and when that time passes, then Allah says, shadidul iqab is what affects that person. And suddenly Allah Ta'ala's rahmah from Ghafoor Rahim, Allah Ta'ala says then, shadidul iqab. Then Pharaoh said, oh, Rabbi Musa, oh Allah, save me. Allah says, time has passed now. The time has passed now. Now you've seen everything. You had a chance. So this is bughaz, hatred, enmity, to harbor this in your heart, to have revenge. I'll do this to him, I'll take revenge on him, I'll destroy him, I'll see to him. What's this? What's in this? No one like this is forgiven. Another hadith, listen as well. This is also a hadith in Bayhaqi. And this is also a great sahabi, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. He has three companions, great companions I've shared with you. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Hazrat Abu Huraira, and Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. Great muhaddith. Yes, and they were great ashiqs of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, subhanAllah. You know what a great lover he was. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, we know. And Hazrat Jabir was not even less than them. He was also a great ashiq and lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, and this hadith I think is narrated from him. And he was on a journey and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. And there was the moon on the 14th night. And they were wearing a beautiful sheet and cloak. Imagine the scene that he's wearing a sheet, a cloak, and the Sahaba there. The moon is out, 14th night, full moon. And he said, sometimes I looked at the face of my beloved Rasulullah, sometimes I looked at the moon, he said. And he said that the moon failed in its illumination. And look at the blessed face of Rasulullah versus the moon. He was an ashik, and he gave that comparison in this hadith. What does he say? That Monday and Thursday, Monday and Thursday, the deeds are presented to Allah. Yes, similar hadith, just like your satay. This is the amal that this refers to. And he said that all those individuals who are doing istighfar and doing dhikr at that time, you're sat for this reason or you're not? Tell me, this is a hadith that relates to what we're doing. That's why we've come in here for tawbah, istighfar. That's why we're attending. They who are sitting and doing this action, tawbah, istighfar, Allah says, I've forgiven everybody. Everybody has been forgiven. But, except for that person who has bughz, malice, and hatred, dislike for someone else, he will not be forgiven. So we see here that forgiveness Allah is mentioned in various places and times, but that person is not forgiven whose bath is not clean and he doesn't work hard on his inner state and his soul. So the result of our discussion that we need to come to is that how important it is for a person to clean his batin. Away from this, you will fail in all your endeavors. Most hard work effort, you have to move your physically to work hard and clean your batin. That's the message of today. That's the message. Without this, there's no success. And how do we do this? Allah Ta'ala explains, Rasulullah explains that everything has a cleaning agent, that your garden is spoilt, Notice that you cannot rectify it. Allah says, I've prepared for that. You can amend it. You can improve. Your house is dirty, untidy. Allah says, you can improve it, amend it. Yes, many tools today, Hoover, vacuum cleaner, cleaning materials and machines, you buy to clean. So if you're dirty, if you're impure, you're stained and you're in a bad way, and spiritually in a bad way, Allah says, I've also prepared the solution for this. That doesn't matter how dirty you are, impure you are, Allah says, then put the water over yourself and become clean. Kullu shayin saqalatan. Every dirty thing has a cleaning agent. Something to clean it. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said, I said before, the purification, most important role it plays in is in Islam. Most important role of purification is within Islam. That's why I stated that for everything Allah says, I've prepared cleaning for everything, and you do that. So for the batin, which is most important factor of all, that will make a person a human being, Allah says, have I not prepared something to clean your batin? This is hadith. Kullu shayin saqilatan saqalatan qalbi dhikrullah. That the cleaning agent for the heart, that if you want to purify your soul and your batin and your inner self, then for this Allah Ta'ala says, I've created something. Just like with water, doesn't matter how dirty and stained and smelling you are and your clothes are smelling, water will clean them because that's the quality of water. Yes, doesn't matter how dirty the clothes are, it will clean them. Your hands are dirty, you rub them under the water, it will clean your hands. Yes, the dirt, it dies with water. They clean the hands, clean the hands, clean the hands. You know, clean the if you don't immerse something in the water then. But Allah Ta'ala says that every corona's solution, let's kullu shayin saqalatan, kullu, everything it will purify and clean. This clean, say subhanallah, subhanallah. So today first solution and cure of corona, we say keep washing your hands, purify your hands. So Allah Ta'ala said it's very simple. For the Muslim, this is not a new thing. Our iman, our belief is such that Allah and His Rasul says, we believe in everything they gave us. And they told us before, the Muslim with the fadl of Allah does 5 times wudu salah for a day. 5 times a day he purifies himself. We see that how water purifies that person. The pious preachers have seen how water purifies. When a person's doing wudu, then wherever the water goes, his hands and his mouth, etc., his limbs, the sins are dropping from his body when the water of ablution. With the sins, the eyes that commit the sins are dropping. So it's not necessarily that we don't understand this, that we have greater yakin that Allah is the Rasul, some have told us that the sins drop due to the wudu. We don't need no further proof beyond this. We don't need any further proof. The same way, when a person, when his batin is dirty, his soul is dirty, then only one thing, one action can clean that. Nothing else can purify him or her. Nothing. And in that Allah Ta'ala has put the property inherent. What is that? Dhikrullah. The action of dhikr will purify the batin. I'm not saying this. No Sufi sahab saying this. Maulana sahab not saying this. Mufti sahab not saying this. Who is saying this? Allah Jalla Jalalahu Amman Walahu is telling us this. Allah is announcing this, that with water of dhikrullah, just like water is purified, just the same way dhikrullah will purify every single dirty hasad, takabbur, jealousy will come out, bugus, hatred will come out, malice will come out. They don't just come out, rather they come out and they're replaced with beautiful flowers and plants. It's not left vacant, the batin. Takabbur will come out and it will be replaced with a better quality. Say subhanallah. When takabbur comes out of you due to dhikr, then a beautiful flower will be implanted, because takabbur will take you towards kufr, and that beautiful flower that will replace it will directly make you the beloved servant of Allah. What flower comes? Ikhlas will come into you. Sincerity will come into you. Replace the bughz. Yes, it replaces that destroyed plant. Allah Ta'ala says that I give you the higher maqam. Not that you just take the dirt out. Allah says you take the dirt out, I give you reward. You take the takabbur out, Allah says now I'll give you the reward. You've worked hard. Ikhlas and good akhlaq will replace that. Yeah, mukhlaseen al-huddin, Allah announces in the Quran. That's what those people become. You take lying out of your batin, then I'll replace it with a new flower, which will be honesty, integrity, sidq. Will replace the lying. So every dirty thing you take out of your batin due to dhikr, Allah says replace it with good flowers. And these are flowers of Jannah. Imagine the fragrance then within you. How the fragrance will spread. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So when a human being purifies his batin, who are those people? Awliya Allah, who were given their duty to teach this, when I used to sit next to Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, then this beautiful fragrance of Jannah would be there. I tell you the truth here, my friends. Makkah al-Mukarramah, when it was evening and dusk in the night, and Hazrat Sahib would sit there and we had his sohbat company, then the beautiful effects of Jannah would be felt. Yes, he used to wear cheap, light clothes, my Sheikh, and he used to wrap the blanket, the shawl around him, and he used to wear the dhoti. And can anyone compare such a heat? You know the heat there in Makkah, yeah, mashallah. The extreme heat. And at that time, even the fans would just rotate. There was no AC air conditioning in that era. There was no system of AC there in the masjid. In Haram Sharif, there weren't coolers, barrels. Rather, there were just pots of water. Pots of water. That's when we did Hajj and Umrah. Yes, there were just pots of water. Yes, cool pots, mashallah, that drink from here. Not the resources. Now, I never saw Hazrat Sahib eating, drinking water, nothing. Never did I see him doing ghusl with cold water, etc. Nothing. There's sweat coming, nothing. But he sat there in the cool surrounds of Jannah. Why? Because batin is clean. Batin is clean. It's not just clean. And it's been replaced with beautiful plants and flowers within. Takabbur replaced with ikhlas, subhanAllah. Instead of lying, there's siddiq. Instead of riya, something else. In other words, all the sins you can line up, they're diminished and they're replaced with goodness. And the person who sits next to that fresh person, he feels it as well. And they don't just become like this automatically if they work hard. Why don't we want to become like this? There's a question mark here. We want to be rich and wealthy, a minister, you want to be an MP, you want to be a mayor. Why don't you want to become a wali Allah? What's the problem here? Why don't we think like this? Let's hear. What's the problem here? Want to be a doctor, engineer, hafiz, qari, everything under the sun we want to become. But, Allahu Akbar, we don't want to become these good effects for which you have to work hard and make effort on the batin. Oh, subhanAllah. There's a statement that we should learn from a person. Allah should ask Allah, what is your raza? Where is your pleasure? Where does it lie? What a great maqam. Allah says, you tell me that how are you pleased, Allah? What do I do? Allah says that whatever you need, then I will keep giving to you. This is the maqam that a person attains when he purifies himself. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given to us the instruction to work hard. That we are sat and the shade of the fakir, Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullah alayhi, my Shaykh, his teachings, make your destiny good. Come out the deception of the dunya, sit khalis for the sake of Allah, don't sit with as a munafiq. And when you walk, when you take steps, the full step, that I want to purify my batin, and to purify the batin, there's one method only one method. What's that? That you have to assign your batin to Allah by purifying it, by doing dhikrullah. The Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullah dhikrun kathira wa sabbihuhu bukratan wa asila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatahu. What a great human being it becomes through dhikr. Allah says, look my servant, wash, clean yourself, you're dirty inside, just like when you're in the summer, have a bath morning and evening, because you'll smell. You know when you go to India and Bangladesh, there's a lot of heat, they have a bath twice a day, morning and evening they have a bath, in the hot climate. So Allah Ta'ala says, you're so dirty inside you, so the reality of your internal say, you should do dhikr kathir. Dhikr kathir, you should do this. And do dhikr kathir, you need sohbat, company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, so he can instruct you so that dirt doesn't come inside you. At least do bukratan wasila, at least morning and evening, minimum do dhikrullah. Minimum. Bukratan wasila, definitely do ghusl with the water of dhikr and purify your inner state. Give a shower to your nafs and your inner state. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. This is not some minor thing that we just ignore. You have to have a bath in the morning, Allah says. And what water do you utilize? Dhikrullah water, you utilize that. Sit in the morning. Where shall we go? Allah says that you should have the desire. You should have a desire. And I will prepare the solution where you should go, Allah says. SubhanAllah. That's Allah. That did some mad dog bite me that I left Manchester and I came here to this town? Tell me. Khan ka I had, we left there, madrasa, house, business, I left there and I sat here, no house, nothing. And people like you I've met, who don't even give a lift, who don't even give the time of day. I don't know Gujarati, I don't know the language. That mashallah is the first time I've come in this such great people who are hiding. that mashallah, I was introduced to them, such good people here in this town, in this vicinity, in my heart, the feeling of, that's why Allah Ta'ala sent me here, that such great people, teach them dhikrullah. They will learn dhikrullah, and they'll follow that method and that path, they have the desire and they have the passion. And I've seen that the Gujarati, mashallah, they have great desire and passion, they have desire for the deen, they have a burning for the deen, mashallah. A great desire for the deen, say mashallah. That's why Allah Ta'ala sends somebody somewhere to do something positive. Otherwise, I had no link here, no connection here with Bolton. I had no link here. I came here, nobody knew me. No understanding. People would come from the other towns. And people would go from here to our madrasa and teach. And then they'd come back. But I had no connection. I didn't know who lived here, who was here. Gujarat, the people from Gujarat. I had no introduction to them. But mashallah, such an introduction that I think myself I am from one of you. From one of them. I've become them like them, subhanallah. I've forgotten where I'm from, my background. Yes, I've become Fanaful Gujarati, alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. So it's gone upside down, flip side. So, the first people, they said, the Hazrat Sahib, what's happened? He's gone, he's left, he doesn't remember us, he's forgotten us, they say. Subhanallah. So you should be thankful, isn't it, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or not tell me. Ya Allah sent somebody to your home, Allah's prepared himself, given you masjids, mashallah. Allah has prepared the environment, then you make a fuss after that? Morning and evening, ghusl is taking place, alhamdulillah. Morning, evening, 1 hour, dhikrullah. Yeah? You will not find this anywhere. And for example, I'd extend it, otherwise would have 2 hours. Tell me, how long has it been now today? How long? Do you see majalis this long? And now we have to do dhikr after this as well. Say subhanallah. We still have to do dhikr. So lengthy majalis, Allah has given us this beautiful resource. We should have qadr, appreciation. People come to you from far. Someone's come from Blackburn, other towns. Those people come from other towns. So Allah has given you an honor and status in Bolton. That people come from far and afield. What an honor. And we make a fuss. And when Allah gives, then He also takes back as well. Allah Ta'ala says that you are ungrateful, I'll take it back. So you people, mashallah, definitely should be in every majlis of dhikr of Allah, morning and evening, that don't become ungrateful to Allah. Allah has given a great ni'mah. Graves have become made. Noor ala noor instilled into the grave. Every morning and evening we're having a bath, Allah, the way you want us to, Allah. And most definitely when you have a bath with dhikrullah, then these diseases will be extracted from within. In the grave, no disease will go with you. So brothers, very clear instruction and learning. Most important action of a human being is to clean his batin. Without that, he's an animal, he's mad. Totally, he's lost and astray. He's not a human being. Doesn't matter how many sajdas you do, how long you stay in sajda, you are a thief. So even if you don't lift your head up from the sajda all night long, you're a thief because you haven't purified your heart. You know, like a snake? Yeah, Mulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, mashallah, a great poetry he wrote and verses. And that's the work of the snake or of the python. Yes, he doesn't just bite you, he tricks you, then he bites you. The snake. Yeah, big examples. This is the situation also with us. So, to summarize, most dangerous of all is to not clean and purify the batin. Don't be afraid of the diseases, of the sins. Catch hold from the root and then to work hard. And cleaning yourself, don't be worried about the sickness. When you start doing the work with the class, that morning and evening, Allah want to have a bath, and whatever my shaykh says, I'll do that much dhikr as well on top of that. Don't be lazy and negligent, because this is for my benefit. Everything, every amal, I'll be lazy. Doesn't matter what happens. I won't pray nafil, I won't pray nawafil, I won't read Quran, I won't do recitation. Apart from the faraid, obviously. Faraid I have to do, I'll leave everything. Maybe reduce it. But this amal, do this amal that my shaykh is telling me. Because in this is Allah's rada and pleasure. That my batin is being cleaned, purified, through which I will attain all success. And with this yakin and belief, a person should start washing and cleaning himself. The way Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. My friends, Allah says, oh people, my servants, people of iman, I love you, I explain to you. That purify yourself within how? Do dhikr kathir. Dhikr kathir, morning and evening do dhikr. Huwa ladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatahu. Then you'll become such human beings that me and my angels will send rahmah and mercy upon you. Yukhruju min adh-dhulumati ila nur. And you'll be extracted from the darkness, the dirt that's accumulated, backbiting, haram actions, lying, and envy, takabbur, and pride. Allah says, I'll extract you from that darkness to where? Ila nur. I'll bring you into the light. What am I reading here? Is this Gita that I'm reading? Or am I reciting Torah? No, this is the Quran that will run till the end of time, the Quran. That's why I'm reading to you. That is this Quran. I'm not reading it, amalan physically I'm giving it to you. Physically. There's no enjoyment in just reciting amalan. Allah says, do this practice. Now here, what's this? I've read so much Quran that this verse you can read 10,000 times. Will you become pure? No. You can totally, you are dirty and you've got a water, shampoo, soap, and you sit there next to it and look at it. Will you come out of the bathroom clean if you just look at it? No. You have to physically, you open the shower door, get wet, apply the soap, then you're clean. Same way with the Quran. You can read Quran. If you don't practice, you will not be purified. That's this same verse. This same verse, Quran is saying, oh, people of belief, do dhikr, morning and evening do dhikr. Me and my angels will send rahmah upon you and will take you out of sin and bring you towards nur and light. Tayyatu salam, Allah says. And when Jannah, you will come to me. Allah says, I'll welcome you, receive you, welcome, 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 Allah says, I'll give you great welcome. But then, this is Quran saying, do this. Well, I'm just reading this verse. That's enough for me. We say, oh, I just know how to recite the Quran. I'm not interested in anything else. That's why my Hazrat Sahib said, it's not beneficial. It's rubbish talk. That it sends curse upon that person who just reads and doesn't practice. Read less and practice more on the Quran. Read less, even if you have to. Even if all your life you just read one juz, doesn't make any difference. No one will ask you in your grave that why you're not a Hafiz, why you're not a Qari. Why didn't you read Quran this much? Why didn't you memorize? No one will ask you, but you will be asked for sure. Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi, you recited. Did you practice this verse or not? All life long you didn't get a chance, you couldn't read, no problem. You read this verse, did you practice it? You say, yes, with my heart and soul I did practice on this. Allah says, go into Jannah then. Go into Jannah and take the thawab of the Quran as well at the same time. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yeah, so this is the crux of the matter. Amalan, with practice the life is made, Jannah and Jahannam. Yes, otherwise it's empty vessel. Empty. With amal the life is made, the fortunes are made. Don't just kiss in Quran and yes, there's nothing greater than the Quran. We know this. It's great. So if you do amal on this one verse, then what will you become as a great human being? Allah's rahmah will descend. Angels will do dua for you when you're doing dhikr. It's descending. Allah's rahmah is descending. The dhakir who does dhikr morning and evening. Morning, evening, there's men and women. Rahmah descends onto them. Allah extracts the sins from their life. Allah takes them towards Noor. Allah prepares them for Jannah. Paradise is about to come to me. Tahiyatu salam. Allah says, I want to welcome them, give salam to them, give peace to them. Imagine the surrounds at that time. Those human beings who worked hard on cleaning their batin, their soul. What amazing welcome they get from Allah. Will we work hard, brothers? Do you understand what I've said today? Have you understood today's message or not? Tell me. You've understood what I've said today? What an important necessity of life this is. It's not just I've become Sufi, Wali Allah, and we're talking about this to become peers and Sufis and Wali Allah, so I can see dreams and visions and float in the air. Nothing of the sort. It's a drama. We're doing this for what? To clean the batin, so we can become human beings and present ourselves to our Lord. And thereafter, so that we don't go to Allah on the Day of Judgment as donkeys and monkeys and animals. His name was of a Muslim, but he's a donkey. Now look at his face. Look at his body. What's happened to him now? What namaz has he put? No, we want to purify ourselves, become good human beings, good akhlaq, so when we die, the doors of Jannah in front of us. That's the objective. And when will this result? When we purify our batin, and we start, this is the word I'm adding to this, with ikhlas, sincerity. Now I've come, I've arrived, I went to my sheikh. He said, why have you come here? I said, I have come to leave the world and to attain Allah's name. He says, then sit here. He said, sit here then. Learn. Will you do what I say? I said, yes, I will. He said, okay, fine. From today, do amal on the sunnah, live the life of sunnah. I said, fine, no problem. Agreed. End of story. That's it. That's it. Start the effort. Start working hard. We go inside, no, yaar, I can't follow his instructions. And we become two-faced before we go. It's too hard. I'll accept this, I'll leave this. I'll keep the bed and I'll throw everything else away. I'll do this, I won't do this. And then we make complaints. With the silsila, with zikr, with Allah. Oh, I got no benefit. I came to the deen. Zikr is not improving me. Hazrat Sahab told me to do this. I get no benefit. We complain. We make a fuss. Imagine this. Two-faced person. Two-faced. Yes? No, I can't see any benefit. I don't see any benefit. What I'm doing is a waste of time. I'm wasting my time. We complain. We don't look inside ourselves. How sincere am I on this path? Allah and His Rasul is haq. Allah's kitab is haq. Jannah is haq. Hellfire is haq. Everything in the deen is the right thing. Whatever Allah Ta'ala stated, Rasul stated is correct. We are the liars. Just do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala today's majlis, Allah accepts it. And these small, broken down words of mine that you've heard, I've shared with you. May Allah ta'ala allow us these to become a means for us to improve ourselves, so we can bring ikhlas into life, so we can become honest and we can purify ourselves honestly from within. Work hard on this with dhikrullah. And morning and evening, steadfast, regularly come to the majlis of dhikr Allah, so we can purify ourselves. Because in the morning, that you're dirty in the night, then you purify yourself in the morning, then during the day you get dirty, you purify yourself in the night. And kathir, you say to Shaykh, can you teach me dhikr kathir? Then he'll instruct you that you can keep doing dhikr all the time after that. The Shaykh will instruct you. Very easy path. So simple is the deen that we cannot imagine, but we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. Why should we do it? Why should we? Hatred, malice, we're sat for that. Just live life with the same peer, our sheikh. We've got hatred and malice. What will be our hashr consequence of the day of judgment? What will be our hashr consequence? The person we're learning from, we're backbiting against him. Oh, he said this, do this. May Allah forgive, he's this and that. We backbite against him. Astaghfirullah. In our house we backbite, outside we backbite, backbite everywhere. Backbite everywhere, sat with people that Allah knows best what era we're living in, what's been people's minds and hearts, what deen, what Quran, what understanding. I can't understand this confusion today in the society. Confused society. Does Allah Ta'ala not know what's in our minds and hearts? Is Allah not khabir and basir? He is aware, but khawf has come out of our hearts. My brothers, do true tawbah. We make mistakes, we're human beings. But do true tawbah, true repentance. Allah forgive me, I've done wrong up to now. Allah forgot. Allah gives many, many, many chances over and over and over again. Allah says, but we don't accept Allah's favor. But we take revenge. No. It's my favor on him. I favored him. I did good for him. We remind him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had this. He wouldn't have had this. We remind people of our favors. May Allah Ta'ala forgive all of us. And let's understand what we really are today. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Durood Sharif and let's start the dhikr.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام الزرام العزيز المسلم شريع الهند وهو يزين وعليم المميد اللهم صلي على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ظلمنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطونا وأمرنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا ولا تعطيها ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان اللهم بارك لنا بالموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم أعنا على مراد الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافع الأمراض اشفع أمراضنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومجاهدنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يهون منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ان حضرات میں اپنے بیماروں کے لیے دعا کی ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ ہم سب کو شفا کامل عاجز نصیب فرمائے اور جن لوگوں نے اپنے مرحوم کی مقصد کے لیے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ ہم سب کی پرورش کو مخلوق نصیب فرمائے یا اللہ کے درجات بلند فرما یا اللہ کے ہر امتحان سے کامیابی نصیب فرما یا اللہ جنت میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما یا اللہ پس ملان کر یا اللہ تو صبر زمین نصیب فرما ان کا اجر نصیب فرما یا اللہ اجر نصیب فرما صبر نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد لله رب